You're listening to the Bears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back to another episode of the Bears Brothers podcast. I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and I can honestly say that it's been far too long. You know, we haven't hit the airwaves in a couple of weeks, and for me personally, it's been 3 weeks since the last time that I spoke with you, and I hope that you've been well over, well, pretty much practically the entire month of May since the last time I spoke with you. So to rapidly catch you up, I've had a busy May. I went on vacation with the wife in Europe. Our son just graduated preschool last week, and he just broke his arm 2 days ago, so we've had a lot of things just kind of coming at us, but it's been fun. You're rolling with the punches. Not saying it's fun to break an arm, but I mean, every kid has to go through those at one time or another. And he's a trooper. He's doing all right. Just got his cast today. He got it my favorite color, so that's pretty cool. But today I have both of my Bears brothers. I have Brandon Hazlett and Nicholas Moriano here with me. And the three of us are pleased to be joined by a special guest, former Bear Cameron Lee. Cameron, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to join us this evening. I want to know, how's it going, man?
So far, so good. You know, dealing with the transitor this week, but I'm doing all right, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, we're happy to have you on. So we don't want to waste too much of your time. So you ready to just dive right in?
Of course.
All right. So you're a guy, you know, you've worked hard for every opportunity that has been given to you, right? You began your collegiate career as a walk-on at Illinois State. In fact, I think I saw that you never even had an official college visit, but you kept at it. You worked your way up from their practice squad to a reserve lineman to a two-year starter. You didn't get drafted, but you did bounce around a couple of teams before landing in Chicago for the season last year. So to begin our discussion, I just have a trio of questions. We're going to kind of take these one at a time. And my first one for you is, can you explain like what it's like as like an undrafted rookie, not having a true home early on? Like, what's that kind of like for the psyche of a player and a person?
I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's not ideal, but it can actually sort of grow to be an asset for you because it sort of hardens you as a player and as a person. You sort of really get a feel for how the business side of this thing goes. So you sort of learn that early on that, you know, it's not about you got to learn to take things not personally, but it's about, you know, what can you do for me as a player now? So I think in that regard, it helped me grow. I've learned some lessons from that I'm going to take with me as I go further in my career.
Sure. Can you like highlight one of those lessons perhaps?
I think probably the best thing to learn was that it's not personal. You know, none of this is personal from my brief time in New Orleans to my brief time in Cincinnati. And then all last season with the Bears, you know, you just kind of learn that, you know, everyone's just trying to win games. Everyone's just trying to do what they think's best for the organization and best for their team. And so you learn to, you know, sometimes things happen in this business and that's just people trying to win games. So I think that has become an asset for me, and it's something that moving forward, you know, I'm going to continue to take with me and not get affected by that stuff. It's not personal.
Sure, sure. Exactly. That's definitely a good life lesson for, you know, anyone, no matter what profession it is as well. But I know my next question, I know it's not sexy, but can you maybe give us a glimpse into the life of like a practice squad player? Like, what's the day to day like? You know, I think it's what, all of the work and none of the glory, right?
That's exactly right. And you hit the nail on the head when you said it's not sexy. You know, being on the practice squad in the NFL was a lot like being a walk-on as a college football player. It's a lot like, you know, having to hold the bags or be the guy that's sort of the punching bag, if you will, for the other guys. It's exactly like you said, not sexy. So you work just as hard, don't necessarily get the opportunities to be at the front of the line to, you know, you're not necessarily the next guy to go in the game. So you got to work, you know, twice as hard for half the recognition. But if you're willing to do it and you're willing to put in the work, opportunities can arise. And that's what happened for me. And I was so fortunate to get to end up playing in some games. So it's worth it, but it's hard. It's tough work.
Yeah, no doubt. And actually, that's my next one. You know, week 15 of last season, you finally took your first ever snaps as a pro, which I want to know like what that was like, because you're an Illinois native. Like I said, you went from walk-on to undrafted, spent the entire season on the practice squad to finally step foot on the field as a pro in a Bears uniform. And please tell me that since you grew up in Central Illinois, you're wearing a Sox hat, that you did grow up a Bears fan.
I wouldn't say that I was a Bears fan, but I wouldn't say that I wasn't. I just wasn't watching a ton of football. Can I put it like that? I just wasn't really that. And I didn't have a team I was following, I guess. But yeah, growing up in Central Illinois, I grew up around Bears fans. I grew up around Chicago sports fans. So having the opportunity on Christmas Eve to make my NFL debut for my home state team, I mean, there's just nothing really like that. And to, you know, get to do it in the middle of a blizzard, like it's really – In so many ways, it's kind of like an offensive lineman, you know, a walk-on's dream come true. You know what I mean? Just to get to go out there and just grind and be sort of thrown into an uncomfortable situation. You know, someone goes down and, hey, Cam, you're the next guy up. And you're like, all right, gotta go make it work. And so that's sort of been my mantra. And so to get to do that, it was a pretty special day.
That's awesome. I mean, to have your dream, you know, go out there in the cold and, you know, block people. That's not maybe everyone's dream, but that's awesome that you got to do that. Cameron, I'm sure, as you know, the Bears drafted James Daniels in the second round. As an incoming rookie, what do you think's the biggest adjustment you believe Daniels will have to make to get acclimated to the NFL game?
Well, James is obviously entering into a different situation than I ever went into. You know, being the undrafted guy, you never feel like you have that advantage. You're always going to be the guy who's fighting to take someone else's job. So I can't really speak on behalf of like what he's going through, but I can say that having been through an entire season in the NFL and being a rookie and being that guy, you know, you just the big thing you got to prove immediately is that what your value is. You got to prove like what you can do to contribute to this team in any way that you can. If it's, you know, playing multiple positions or playing a position that you may not have played in college, whatever you can do to show that, you know, this team can use you as soon as possible. So like, that's really the big thing for a rookie, is to just prove your value as soon as you can.
Cameron, do you have like a welcome to the NFL moment? I know you didn't play a ton those last 2 weeks, but do you still have a welcome to the NFL moment?
I don't know that it was necessarily a welcome to the NFL, because I'd been around for, you know, for the almost an entire season at this point. But sure. The first moment where it like really hit me was when I was out there in that game on Christmas Eve against the Browns. And so we ran one run play and it went all right. And I was like, okay, I'm out here and this makes sense. And then the very next play, we ran a pass play and I was lined up against Myles Garrett. And I thought, do it now or never do it. You know what I mean? if you can't block the number one overall draft pick, then who can you block? So, and it went fine. Actually, that was the highlight of probably my rookie year. Was at one point during the game, I was blocking him to the sideline and we were up a couple touchdowns and it was snowing. And I don't know if he just didn't have the motor or what, but at one point he said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, chill, 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 man." And that was like the highlight of my career.
That's awesome.
I've always been like a hustle guy. Like, you know, if I'm not the most talented, I'm gonna outwork you. Instead of make Myles Garrett have to say, "Whoa, man, take it easy," or whatever. Like that was a good moment for me.
No doubt about it. No, that's awesome. That's something that, you know, it's cool to talk to you and actually get that information, because like you said, up front, it's nothing sexy, but hearing that you had the number one overall pick telling you to calm down a little bit, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Got to put him in his place. Got to put him in his place.
There we go. All right. So up next, Brandon's going to pick his brain on a leader for the Bears offensive line. But first, we need to take a quick timeout, and I need to tell you a little bit about our show sponsor, SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats for the best prices, and they're fully guaranteed. There's something quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. As you know, all the Bears brothers have the SeatGeek apps on our devices, and it's the easiest way that we've been able to shop for tickets. We can be anywhere, pull out our phones or our tablets, and within a few taps, instantly find some seats. I was actually just looking at SeatGeek, looking at tickets for actually the Bears-Dolphins game all the way down to Miami, because we have our tickets. We have a group of 30 Bears fans that we're going with, hanging out, having a good time, getting to meet a decent amount of our listeners, and on top of that, we want more people to come. So if you missed out, definitely check out SeatGeek because they still have plenty of amazing deals. And even if you can't sit right by us, it'd be pretty cool to meet you before that game. So definitely check out that one or any of the Bears games coming up so far this season. But SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And the best part of all is that our listeners get $20 off that first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code BEARS today. That's promo code BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Alrighty, well, I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and you're listening to the Bears Brothers Podcast. Today, I have both of my Bears brothers. I have Brandon Hazlett and Nicholas Moriano with me. We're joined by special guests, former Bear Cameron Lee. And Brandon, the floor is yours.
All right. So as Will alluded to before the ad there, trying to pick your mind about a leader here on the offense, particularly the offensive line, Kyle Long. I mean, since he's been here in Chicago, he's not only been looked at as a leader for the offensive line, but as the offense as a whole. And he's been really vocal. It seems to do a really good job of getting his guys fired up, brings a lot of intensity. But unfortunately, he's been plagued with injuries the past couple seasons. So in your time in Chicago, I mean, did he still hold that intensity despite being injured? And was he someone that you would want to look up to and kind of model your game after?
Definitely. Kyle's an awesome guy. He's a great leader. He's a great guy to have in the locker room. He's very passionate. He's very intense. He's one of those guys that, you know, he does things the right way. But yeah, Kyle's definitely the type of guy that you love looking up to. And obviously he's someone I want to model my game after. I mean, very few people on earth can do the things that Kyle Long does as a football player. So yeah, I mean, he's definitely someone that I looked up to, and he's a great leader and a great person to have in your locker room.
Cameron, speaking of your teammates, who's the hardest one to block in practice? I imagine that Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks would be just a monster of a task to block.
Yeah, definitely. Especially going, being on the scout team, you're going against those guys regularly, and you know they don't want you to beat them. You know what I mean? It's one thing to get beat by the starters. It's another thing to be, you know, given trouble from the practice squad guys. So going up against guys like Eddie and going against guys like Akeem, where it was a huge task to, you know, handle every single day at practice, but it definitely made me a better player, and I hope that I made them a better player in some way.
So going back to the offense here, you spent a season with Mitch Trubisky, whether it was playing with him or being on the practice squad, kind of, I guess, going against him in a way. I don't know what necessarily the position you were playing on practice squad, if it was just offensive line, but you spent time with Trubisky. Right. So I'm interested to know, just more about him from someone in the locker room. I mean, how much did you see him grow over his first year in Chicago, and what are some of his greatest strengths and some other things that he can continue to work on?
First of all, Mitch is awesome. Mitch was a great leader, a great player. And you could definitely, you got to see him grow. That's exactly right. Like you said, you got to see him sort of each week pick up a little bit more about the offense and learn a little bit more and grow as a player, but definitely grow as a leader. It's hard to step into this league and to immediately, you know, have the command of the entire locker room and to be the voice and to rally the troops and all that. But each week I got to watch Mitch grow, not only as a player and a leader, but as a man. And so that was really cool. So moving forward, you know, obviously he's just got a whole new offense to learn and a whole new playbook he's got to master. So I'm sure he'll do quite fine with that. Mitch was, you know, it's exactly what he does. He's a quarterback and he will do fine with that. That's really, I think, the big thing is just moving forward, just learning that offense, absorbing as much information as you can from these veterans and from the new coaches, and just taking all of that and carrying it onto the field. But I mean, he'll be fine.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Cameron, last season, did any like offensive linemen or players in general, like maybe take you under their wing a little bit? And if so, who?
I wouldn't say that there was like, oh, you know, here's your day one, like this is your big brother, or this is the guy to look up to. And not in a good way or a bad way. It wasn't like that. That just wasn't really the vibe of the room. But obviously, you know, like you said, like guys like Kyle and Charles Leno, and those are, you know, some of the guys that are more vocal that you sort of lean to as far as just sort of guidance and trying to learn the ropes of being in the NFL and trying to make it, you know, just from year to year. So those are two of the guys that I looked up to the most and that sort of had good advice. And obviously Cody Whitehair and Hronis, you know, those guys were, you know, great examples and great guys to look to. So, but really the group as a whole is really, there's a lot of good guys and I will miss them.
Yeah, definitely. Cameron, we're going to transition here from football to now your podcast, everything else. And it had its first episode released on May 7th, and you brought on your former teammate, Charles Leno Jr. on there. Talked about an assortment of topics, which was great. I really enjoyed the pop culture fantasy draft. Really cool. But what made you want to start your own podcast, and when is episode 2 going to come out?
Well, I'm in a bit of a tough situation just because, you know, I've trying to get land back on my feet and get employed. So first I got to find myself a new home, and then we'll start to talk about things on the side. But as far as like my motivation for wanting to do that, I've always been kind of quirky in that regard. I like, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself. I like, you know, I like watching other sports. I like reading books and TV and all that. So I've always had an appreciation for sort of like, you know, pop culture and stuff going on in the world. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to voice my opinion, have a place to sort of just say what I was thinking and say the things that were on my mind. So I thought the podcast would be a good forum to do that. It's not exactly a conventional route for, I suppose, NFL players, but I guess maybe I'm not the conventional personality, but it was something I've always wanted to do for a long time. And so I thought it was a good time to go and try it out, and hopefully we'll get up and running with some more pods, but it's just maybe not a good time right now.
Yeah, I totally understand. You got to focus on you first, no doubt about it. But Nick, you mentioned that pop culture fantasy draft, and early on, you took one of my favorites, Donald Glover, you know, Childish Gambino. My wife and I actually just got tickets to see him in Nashville coming up here in October. Same weekend as the Bears game. It's going to be a hectic weekend, but we had to do it. He doesn't tour much. Had to take our chance. But I want to know, you talked about Atlanta. Did you like the season finale?
I won't spoil anything. I liked it. I liked the season as a whole. The finale wasn't my favorite episode, but I've liked the direction that they've been going this, and sort of the dynamic between Earn and Al, and sort of trying to figure out where everything's headed. I thought they kind of left it in a good place, and so we can sort of see a variety of, you know, changes in the plot moving forward, but I'm excited to see where they end up going.
Are you still having Teddy Perkins nightmares?
Dude, I really didn't sleep I don't think I slept as well as I normally do for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it was creepy.
It was so creepy. But I'm back to a normal sleeping schedule, but I don't watch horror movies just for that very reason.
I understand completely. But yeah, Atlanta, if you haven't watched the show yet, please do yourself a favor and start back season one. You can find it. Season two just ended. You can catch up within a couple of days if you really wanted to. But no, that show's really good. It makes you think. I think that's what you said in your podcast too, Cameron. You know, a lot of conscious thinking, and I think we need more of that in the world. So definitely check it out. And on top of that, you're just missing out. I had one more question about Atlanta. Oh, did you like the whole Robin season like theme? Because there's like, I was reading into it, and it's so cool. Like how many, like, they wanted to highlight all the different ways you can get robbed, like not just material possessions, but like of your pride, of your dignity, and all that as well. I thought that was like, it's so meta, but also so deep at the same time.
That's the coolest part about that show, is that on the surface, you're like, oh, this is just a show about, you know, people trying to make their way through the world in Atlanta, and you know, and however they have to navigate and try to make, you know, try to make money and try to survive. But that, like, on a deeper level, there's so many like hidden messages, and it's just like everything else Donald Glover does, just like the This Is America video or whatever. Like it's so not, you know, it's just not that simple. Like that's the way everything is. Like there's a hidden message to it. And so I thought the Robin season thing was really cool, because like I watched it, and obviously I knew that there was something to that, the whole Robin season thing, but I didn't even totally pick up on the level that you just picked up, that you described to me. So like, it's crazy, but I thought that was awesome. Just sort of the concept and the way that they take things and, you know, try and make you think and make you learn a lesson. It's an awesome show.
It is. All right, we'll take that conversation to the side, or else I'm going to have to start myself an Atlanta podcast on top of this. Nick, go ahead. All right, sounds good. All right, well, that'll be our next joint adventure. We'll keep in touch about that, because that sounds like a great idea. But Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I felt left out. I definitely have to watch now. I've only heard great things about the show. But Cameron, you mentioned like getting back up on your feet. What is that process like? Do you go call teams as agents? Like, how does that work when, you know, just looking for your next, you know, your next line of work?
Well, so obviously, you know, I'm hoping that another opportunity is going to come up soon. So I've got a couple of workouts lined up with some teams. It's really just a matter of getting there and getting your foot in the door. So my agent is able to set up these workouts, and you go and you pretty much, it's a showcase. Hey, is this guy going to be better than this guy? And so it's just like someone was able to take my job. Hopefully, you know, I got to go take someone else's job, and that's the way you got to go about it. So you got to, you know, stay in shape and stay positive and keep your mind focused on football. And one of these days an opportunity will rise. And when it does, are you ready to go and capitalize and earn yourself a spot on another team?
Yeah, very well said. I like your mindset throughout this whole thing, because I can only imagine how difficult it could be. You know, actually, all three of us just graduated college within like the last year and a half. And In many ways, you're undrafted rookies, right? You're undrafted free agents. You're still young, not a lot of experience. So it's tough out there. And we're all in the same boat. Just some have a little bit of a different, aspect. You're there playing football. We're doing more of the boring 40-hour week job, but that's okay. But for me, I want to know, do you have any, like, advice? I know you're so early in your journey, but like any advice you would give to maybe like this year's undrafted free agency?
Yeah. I would say that the biggest thing you can do as an undrafted free agent, or anyone that's really just trying to make it, trying to cut it, trying to prove that you belong, is you just got to buy in. You got to buy in 100%, just completely commit yourself to the organization, commit yourself to what's going on. And it's going to be hard. There's going to be points where, you know, you're the low man on the totem pole, and there's someone's going to ask you to do work that you don't think you need to do for them or whatever. But like, you really got to swallow your pride. You just have to do what you got to do. And that's sort of the way you get respect in this business. Like I said, I haven't been around very long, but I think that the guys in the organization, especially the Bears, definitely respected me. And that was from, you know, you just kind of shut up and do your job. And so it's not fun. It's not sexy. It's not, you know, the kind of advice that you're like, oh, I learned this. But that's what you got to do to cut it. And so that's what I wish someone would have told me. Not that I didn't do it, but that would have been good for me to hear. And I would like, you know, someone else, if I was going to talk to someone else, that's good advice for them to hear from me.
Sure.
Cameron, it wouldn't be a Bears Brothers podcast if I didn't mention something about the trenches and how games are won and lost there. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen. You got that. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Brandon, cranking out the deep questions. But
I had to put it in there somewhere. So
there games are won and lost in the trenches. You're right.
No doubt about it. And I just have a fun question here, Cameron. I know that you post a short story, those on your Twitter. Where did the inspiration come for those? And I know it's like most of them are like you maybe back when you're younger. So yeah, tell us about those.
It's kind of a lot like the whole podcast idea. It's like, I love playing football, but I do other things too. And so I like telling stories. I like communicating with people. I like connecting with people. And so I was sort of looking for just a funny thing to just, you know, get off my chest or whatever. So I started off, I used to like write blogs and stuff. And so I still do that sometimes. But I just wanted a funny way to just sort of tell a story to, you know, make someone laugh. And so I started doing those weekly, and they're mostly about stuff from my childhood. And so it's something I enjoy doing. And as long as I can continue to come up with stories, I'm going to keep trying to do them every week.
Yeah, definitely. We'll keep tuning in. And then I just have one last question for you. What are your expectations for the Bears this season? Seeing with everything they've done, Mitch Trubisky going into year two, now having Matt Nagy, what are your expectations? What's your gut feeling that they do this season?
I think they could have a lot of success. They got great players and made some great additions, and I've got nothing but good things to say about the coaching staff and the organization and the changes they made. I think they're going to be awesome. So I think I don't want to put a wins or losses on it, but I think they definitely can do. They can, you know, turn things around from the previous seasons and have a lot of success. So I'd be excited to see what the Bears can do this year.
Yeah, we're definitely excited over here as well. And I have the final question for you, and it's a fun one. At least I think so. You know, you're a super talented guy, you know, between football, and I saw you're a pretty decent baseball and basketball player as well in high school. So, you know, very well versed. On top of that, you're funny. You do podcasting, you do writing, you do these videos. But do you maybe even have another hidden talent that others may not know about you?
A hidden talent?
Yeah. Or maybe a hidden passion?
I don't know that I've got any hidden talents, but let's see. Besides like the writing and the podcast, I tried stand-up comedy a couple times back when I was in college. So that's something that I've enjoyed doing and I've tinkered with. So
All right, give me your first 30 seconds. Let's go.
It's not appropriate for this podcast.
Fair. All right, I'm going to take that as I'm going to take your word on that. But all right, Cameron, you know, that was a lot of fun. I want to thank you again for hopping on. You know, I know our listeners appreciate your insight, and I know we do. That Myles Garrett quote about 15 minutes ago, still, it's going in my mind. That was priceless, man. But seriously, thanks so much.
Hey, I really enjoyed this. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, guys.
Awesome. And don't forget to check out Cameron's podcast. It's Everything Else with Cameron Lee. You can check it out on iTunes. Is it anywhere else? Is it just wherever podcasts are found, like most?
Every platform that you can find the podcast.
I figured as such. I just don't like to assume things, especially on air. And don't forget to follow Cameron on Twitter at Comeback Cam. Up next, we're going to begin our third annual training camp countdown series, appropriately titled Countdown to Camp. For those unfamiliar with it, each week we take a different position, put it under the microscope, analyze it, and the position battles within it, which will get you ready and primed for camp. And additionally, we're hard at work under the wraps right now, but you're listening. It's at the end of the show, so if you're still listening, it's like a little bit of a bonus. We're working hard on a season preview magazine that's going to be full of coach and player profiles, projections, and much more. So stay tuned for updates on that as they will become available shortly. But until next time, guys, bear down, Chicago.